May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated.
Does she have a glass of water up there? Can you see? I think, okay.
Well, this gospel can sound confusing at first.
I think I'll go get her one.
Take your time and read through it verse by verse. It's really not so bad. One of the tricks is to just change the word from word to Jesus, and it makes a lot more sense to us. Because Jesus is the Word of God, and it teaches us, you know, Jesus teaches us all about God. But just a teeny, teeny bit of history so that you know. The word logos in Greek philosophy really means giving meaning to something, giving coherence to something like logic or consistency, giving it reason as far as thinking. Logos in Greek thought is more about a link or a bridge or a bond, maybe a character, like a perfect representation of something else. And we know that Jesus shows us God's true nature. In fact, it's kind of interesting because a lot of times in the Old Testament, we'll think that there's a problem. The God of the Old Testament was so destructive and so stern and cruel. And now we've got this other new God with, you know, who was like a different person in the New Testament. Well, that's not true. Because the God of the New Testament that we see through Jesus is more compassionate, more forgiving, totally forgiving, and loving us unconditionally. But it wasn't God who changed. It wasn't God who changed at all. It's that Jesus came, and that's one of the reasons why he came, to show us and to teach us the true nature of God, the true ways of God, so that we could understand it more clearly and not be confused or misled. Jesus tells us and shows us what God's intentions were for each and every one of us and for all of creation. Adam and Eve weren't the only ones that got it wrong. It's a habit. So anyway, John, he teaches us also about the mystery of the incarnation. If we think about it, God Almighty, our Creator, he was made man, very humbly being born a baby to a virgin, to a woman, and coming to live with us. Not the Greek gods that are very capricious, but a God that comes and lives with us. You know, actually lives not only in our towns, but in our homes, and not only in our homes, inside of us. God dwells with us. And John in the Gospel teaches us even more. From the very beginning, Jesus was with God. What does it say? In the beginning was the Word. That means in the beginning, Jesus was there. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. What John was trying to do was to teach us that Jesus was not created. He was, he is, and he is to come. Jesus is eternal, not created. The other thing is that there wasn't one thing created in the entire creation without Jesus Christ being there. Sometimes we don't even realize that. And in Genesis, we can read it over and over again about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit breathed on the waters. And those were the beginning, the teachings of the Trinity. And then also John explains how and through Jesus comes our life and our light. In fact, Jesus is life. because he was the creator along with God the Father. Jesus is the light. In fact, as we read the Collect and Isaiah, we kind of learn that God pours out the new light in life through Jesus to us, and Jesus pours out our life and light to us, and we're supposed to grow. That's what it's all about, our growing in God through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we also learn that Jesus is true existence. If we look at the life and light of Jesus, if we look at what he teaches us, if we look at what he did, how he responded to each and every person he met, that's true existence. That's what we're supposed to be like. Not destructive, not being impatient, not being unforgiving or not compassionate. Jesus is true and true understanding, not chaos at all. And what's comforting to know, we learn from John and also from St. Paul, that nothing can defeat our Lord. Nothing can defeat his reconciliation to us, his gift for us to be bringing ourselves back to God. This happens through him. And nothing can defeat his redemption of our souls. If we think about that, what an awesome Christmas gift. What an awesome gift that is. There's actually nothing better that we can get. If somebody said, all right, I'll give you this lottery ticket, and you definitely will win $1 million, but if you choose that lottery ticket, I want you to give up the redemption and salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, really think about it. It might sound really fun at first. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll take the lottery ticket. I want $1 million. But think about it. If that was our choice, what would we do? What would we choose? Jesus truly is the best gift that we have ever been given. Jesus also, in his life, death, and resurrection, his willing death and resurrection, he was able to save us from ourselves. Jesus was able to save us from our sins. When we sin, if we recognize them, talk about them, you know, to the Lord, have contrition, you know, we're sorry for them, and then repent, we change our way of being, we're always forgiven. All we have to do is turn to Jesus. One of the things that really, I have to admit, got my attention in the Collect and also Isaiah was where it says, grant that this light, Jesus, is enkindled in our hearts. May we shine forth in our lives. That's what Christmas is all about. And then Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my God. Well, that's what our response is to be like. That's what our whole being is to be, exalting in the Lord. So we learn from the lessons that Jesus was humble. Jesus was born of a virgin. He became a man to live with us, constantly teaching us how we are to be, how we are to love, about relationships between us and God and one another, and that we are accepted by God, children of God, and we're to be close to him like a daddy. That's what Abba means, like a daddy. Not aloof or distant, but close. Jesus wants us to feel that love. Jesus wants us to know that acceptance and that salvation. So what is Christmas all about? The enkindling of Jesus in our hearts, being fired up, being excited, and wanting to help because we realize all that that God has given us. Be interested enough to have action, to have a response because of his love for us. Our whole being is to exalt in our God. As we live and learn during this Christmas time, and as we light our own lights, the Eucharistic candle lights, the candles in our windows here, the Christmas tree lights, all the decorations, we're still doing it. Christmas is until next Sunday. We're safe. The candle lights in our own homes, the lights on our trees, the lights on the outside of our windows and in houses. As we do that, let's remember who we are, being children of God. We are Jesus's little lights in the world. We are to be the light of Christ in the world to every single person we meet, but especially for the hungry, the poor, the homeless, those who might be depressed or alone or lonely, anyone that has a need. We are to be their Christ. That's who we are. We are to share the abundance. Whatever our abundance is, we are to share it with others for God's sake and because of his will. We are to make Jesus known in all the world. And what I'd like to do is end with my favorite verse. It's in John, but it's in chapter 13. Jesus tells us, he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen.